Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
And we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. Of a message titled, Godly Contentment. That is something that I hope that you strive for, and if not tonight, that you can begin moving towards. Godly contentment, remember, does not have anything to do with the circumstances around us. Godly contentment does not have anything to do with whether you have a spouse that's acting the way that they should act, or whether you're like me and you have all the kids are acting the way they should, because that's the reality of our life, is the kids are always acting the way they should act. Exactly. As a matter of fact, I think it's the opposite of that. You almost wonder, is there ever a time when any of them will act right at the same time? But that is not what God's word calls us to rejoice and to be content only when everything's going our way. It's actually quite the opposite. Contentment is when you are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The fire's been heated seven times as hot as it was because of the fury of King Nebuchadnezzar. And what is the contentment of saying, you know what, if we perish, we perish. The man that threw them in the fire died. I cannot even imagine what that person looked like, because it was one of the biggest and strongest of warriors that would have carried and thrown them into the fire, killed them. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was they knew a godly contentment, understanding that if God allowed them to be consumed, they had a mindset of Job, though you slay me, yet I will trust you. God's purposes, his plans are so far beyond what we can understand. His promise of his word is that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. God's promise is to take the ashes of today. And what do we know about ashes and pressure? It creates diamonds. That's what we know. We don't understand how it happens. I really don't. I can't understand the pressure that it would take to take ashes and create diamonds. I don't. I won't even sit here and lie and try to help you understand a concept that I can't have any ability to comprehend. But it doesn't change the reality. And that's the same thing that God does with us. As we are in the pressure of the refiner's fire, God is doing a great work. And the great thing about that is if we trust him and we are content, that godly contentment is great gain. I hope you found 1 Timothy chapter 6. We're going to again look at verses 6 through 8 tonight. And if you are physically able, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word, God, and the promise of your word. God, thank you, Lord, that even if we're struggling with being content tonight, Lord, as we're honest with you and we lay our emotions, Lord, our struggles, our fears, our battles, Lord, at your feet, the promise of your word, Lord, is that you will fight for us, God. You will give us a faith that we struggle with, God. We will grow a faith, Lord, that is maybe the faith of a mustard seed. Lord, your promise, your faithfulness is enduring, Lord. Those yesterday, today, and forever, you are the same and your promises are. God, thank you tonight, Lord, for your word and the promise that it will not return void but will accomplish what it was sent to accomplish. Lord, I pray that you would speak as only you can to our hearts through your Spirit's power and presence. And we ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So verse 6 again, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I would actually go as far as to say godliness without contentment is nothing at all, actually. Because if we're not content, what are we saying? We're saying, God, you know what? Everything's wonderful, but if it was the way that I think it should be, it would be good, but I want to be a godly person, but I don't like what you're doing right now. I don't like the circumstances of my life. Well, that's not godliness, because it's not about what we want, and it's not about what our plans are and our purposes. It's about His. It's about what He sees, which is the big picture, because we can't see the big picture. We can't see what God's doing over there in eternity future right now, and God orchestrating this incredible thing through adversity that we can't see. We can only see right now, and because we are bound in that finite, we struggle with watching something that we cannot begin to understand how that will be used for His glory, but His promise is that it will. We've got trust and faith issues. What is faith? Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do we truly, in all reality, have any faith at all? Because He says, being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That means that we cannot see it. We have no idea to begin to imagine what it's going to be like. But sure, what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. What can we not see? God's power. We can't see His presence. We can feel it, but we can't see it. It's not something tangible that we could touch, so that faith is saying, I know I can't see it, I can't smell it, I can't taste and touch it, but I know it's here. I know that God's faithful, I know that He is trustworthy, I know that He's true. And first thing I want to share with you comes out of that verse 6 tonight, and it's this: godly contentment is a treasure to seek. Doesn't say that it's going to be a gift that we just have and we don't have to in any way exercise our faith. No, it's something that we have to seek. Because we know what the Word says: seek first the kingdom and what? His righteousness. Then all these things will be added unto you. Wait, seek first the kingdom. You mean that means that we should actively have a process? And yes. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. How do you seek? Challenging somebody today. Get in God's Word. Listen to God's Word. Listen to God speak His truth to you. Get in there. Dig. Spend deep amounts of time, large amounts of time, seeking God's face. Do you want to fellowship with Him? It doesn't happen unless we seek Him. But when you seek Him with all your heart, what does it say? I will be found. It's a promise. What is the action? Seek me with all your heart. Promise, I will be found. What is the other one? Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek, you shall be found. Knock, and what? The door will be opened. So there's all of these things that we have part of being responsible for our part, and then God is faithful to do His part. Godly contentment is a treasure to seek. I'm going to tell you another thing. Contentment is a choice. Contentment is a choice. I know back when I had all those surgeries, there's one thing I don't like to do and go to bed at night without a bath. Oof, shower. Can't stand it. I can't stand it. If I go home tonight and I lay down in bed, I'm telling you, I'm not going to sleep. Well, there was a time in my life when I had all those surgeries that I couldn't take a bath every night. There was no way physically I could not do it. There wasn't enough time in the day for Emma to help get me in the bathtub. And I remember having to choose to be content when I couldn't have a shower at night. I had to actually literally will myself to be content without having a shower at night, because I'm not even kidding, you'd almost think that I jumped in a cesspool. That's how filthy I feel I know, right? Eddie, you're a diva too, so hush. Yeah. But that's one of those things that, you know, I had to choose to be content in a situation that I had no control over. I had no control. There was nothing that I could do. If I sat back and worried about laying there at night and feeling the misery of what it was like for me to feel like without a shower, I would have never slept. But I had to choose to be content. But see, contentment is a treasure, because what it does, it brings the gift of peace, of joy, of hope. Because what it does, it speaks to the promises of God, and our belief in the promise of God in our latching on to what he is and who he is and what he promises to do, it's us in the reaffirmation of saying, God, I know you said you're going to provide for me and protect and care. I don't like the situation right now. I don't like the circumstances, God, but I know you're sovereign, you're merciful, you're grace, and I know that your picture is what I can't see. God, I'm going to be content in it. I'm going to rest in it. Lord, I'm going to sit in the misery of my situation right now and trust you because you're trustworthy. God, I know that godliness with contentment is great gain, and I am going to trust in the riches of your glory in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to rest, God, and right now in the authenticity of saying to you, God, I'm going to rest in my faithlessness. God, grow my faith. It's being honest with God. He already knows our hearts, y'all. He knows our hearts. He knows our struggles. He knows our battles. Just be honest with him. Tell him, God, grow my faith. God, teach me a greater obedience. Lord, teach me a greater commitment to your word and the authenticity of me being authentic with you, God, because I cannot pull anything over on you. God, let me be genuine in my honesty with you. And God, have mercy on me. How about that? I mean, God is merciful. He is gracious. He's faithful. Verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. Second thing I want to share with you tonight is this. We will leave this world with nothing. Invest in the eternal. Every one of us tonight are investing in something. We're investing in the temporal, or we're investing in the eternal. Well, you might say, well, I'm investing in my retirement one day, and that's something, let me just tell you what that is. That's temporal. Doesn't matter if you're 10 years old. That is temporal. All it takes is your heart to stop, and all of that is gone. It's passed away. It is nothing. It is no longer your future. It's your past. Doesn't matter if you had $1 billion. It means absolutely nothing. It can't do anything for any of us. So have that eternal mindset of saying, you know what? God, I am living right now, one breath in eternity, every single moment of my life. I am standing at eternity. God, I want to live like I'm going to go tomorrow to be in your presence, or tonight for that matter. I want to be faithful. I don't want to squander everything so that then tomorrow I have to go and beg. No, I want to be faithful. But I'm not living for next week, month, or year. Father, I want to live and be faithful with what you've given me today, because I am not promised 5 more minutes. And the great part about it is one day graduation day hits. We call that glorification. And we'll be right one day. When we live like that, that every day is our last day, one day we will be right. And what will the next thing? We will breathe our last breath and stand in the presence of King Jesus and hear those amazing words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. We're all going to be there that fast. Why not? Recognize that we will leave this world with nothing. Invest in something eternal. No greater joy than Sunday night 2 weeks ago when see a young lady come to faith in Christ. And the week before that, another woman on Sunday, God moved in her heart, came to faith in Jesus Christ. Praise God. That's what matters. Those are investments in the eternal. Our Sunday school classes, our nursery, those are investments in the eternal. Those aren't investments in the temporal. It's the eternal perspective. Those are investments that long outlast every single one of us. Those are tangible things that we can be involved in right now that will long into the future reap a harvest if the Lord doesn't come back. Real easy to be so worried about what 98.7% of Bedford County population right now does not have COVID. Let's call it for what it is. 98.7% of Bedford County does not have COVID right now. Yes, it's affected our body of Christ. But I want to tell you one thing. Don't forget this. Hell has a 100% death rate. And yes, 1.03% of COVID patients are not going to make it. And what is that? I told you earlier, 1/125th of 1% of Bedford County population has COVID. But I know one thing, hell is real, it's serious, and this tonight, what we're doing right now is offering life. We're offering truth. We're offering the gift of salvation, which is a guarantee of life. But boy, the enemy, he's sure selling a lie, isn't he? Oh no, we better shut the whole world down. At some point, brothers and sisters, I'm just going to be honest with you. We can't go hide in a shell forever. We can't. We cannot all go home and hide in a shell forever, because I want to tell you something. Our kids, they can't take it. Our senior citizens up here in the nursing home, they can't take it. Our loved ones can't live like that. God created us to be relational. We need each other. It is not good for us not to see each other. It's not. I'm sorry. But you know who loves to isolate? We know. The enemy. Because in a sense, he gets us in that place of isolation, then he has his way with us. You know how many stories I'm hearing day in and day out of young people taking their lives all over the country? True stories right now. You know how many people have relapsed that were in an addiction recovery from opioid abuse? You know how many? Staggering. Haven't heard one story about them on mainstream media. Nobody's talking about that. You know how many people have overdosed since this happened? Droves of people. All of a sudden, the opioid crisis is gone, isn't it? No. It is an absolute firestorm right now. We're focused on 1.03%. All right, let's say 2%. What about all those young kids? What about all those people who were in recovery, were doing really well? They couldn't go to recovery, couldn't go to the treatment anymore. I want to tell you something. We are always in a battle with truth versus lies all the time. Truth versus lie all the time. You've heard me from day one. I know it's real. COVID's real is real. I understand that. We've seen the effects of it personally. But you know something? God's bigger than all of this. God's given us the ability to act wisely, but also to recognize that one day every single one of us are going to be in his presence. Are you living to die or dying to live? I want to say it again. Are you living to die or are you dying to live? Are you so concerned about hanging on to this? Hanging on to what? What are you trying to hang on to? If you're scared to walk off into your eternity, I need to talk to you, because there should be no fear of that. There should actually be almost a scary excitement about wanting to leave before your time. Not fatalistically, but going, you know what? Doesn't matter what happens. I'm ready to go see Jesus. But I see a whole lot of fear in believers that are scared to death to leave this place. I want to talk to you if that's the truth, because you should not be fearful of going home to be with Jesus. It should be something that gets you excited inside, because you know what the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what's in store for those who love him. I'm going home one day to see a whole lot of people that have gone on before me. That's an exciting thing. How long do I want to hang around this place after my work's done? Not 3 seconds. I love you to death, but I don't. Because I want to tell you, I'm going home. That's where I'm going one day. I'm going home. I'm not home. I'm going home. Why would I want to long to remain in a place of broken sin, bound in hurts and tears, in night, in heartache and sorrow? But what do we see all around us? People who said, well, one day I'm going to heaven, but they're fighting with everything in them to keep from going. There's a disconnect. See, my godly contentment gives me the ability to say, God, I don't want to leave before you want me to go. But Lord, when it's time, let's go. Lord, when it's time, I know for a fact, Lord, when I leave this world, I leave with nothing. God, I want to invest in the eternal, Lord. I want to finish the work that you have for me. And then I desire to depart, which Paul said by far, which is by far much greater. And then verse 8, but if we have food and we have clothing, we will be content with these. If you have food and clothing tonight, do you find yourself content or do you find yourself longing for more? Do you find yourself looking at what could be or what may be one day, what the possibilities of life? Do you see everything as a goal to accomplish to get to a place that is that place of utopia, euphoric place in your mind? Or do you live like this, but if we have food and clothing, let's be content with these. Are you content? Or do you find yourself, in a sense, in a covetousness of life and the things and the fleeting things of the flesh, the desires that are not really, they're contradictory to the Spirit? Do you find that being the utopia that you desire? If you do, think about this last point, and I'll share with this final one. Thank God for everything, especially the daily blessings. Don't think about life being the series of the next step to get to where, you know, when I finally get this series of steps, I'll finally achieve that place of fulfillment. Because I promise you, I call it the Hollywood analogy. You get these young kids that fall victim to the Hollywood, you know, the American Idol type mindset, and they go on the American Idol. And everybody wants to climb that ladder. They're all climbing that ladder. They're climbing all over each other. They're knocking each other off of it. But then you get those ones that find the top, they get to the platform. It's the thing that everybody wants to get to, because it's almost like once I get to look over the top of that, I'm finally there. The problem is that they get to that place, they climb that last step, they look up there and find an empty platform. And many of them jump off, meaning they self-destruct. Because the lie is that if you get to that top and you get to peer over, you'll finally realize that this amazing, ready? It's desirable for gaining wisdom, so I ate. That's what it is. Only to recognize that at the top, when you bite the fruit, you look and there is nothing but a greater level of brokenness. And therefore, you are able then to hire professionals to give you propofol at night because you can't sleep anymore, Michael Jackson. And you find that the very person that cared so much about you for $150,000 or $200,000 a year or whatever he was making doesn't care enough about you to watch you when he injects you with it, and you sit there and walk off into your eternity, into eternal slumber, right? Not. Only longing to get a few hours of uninterrupted rest. But that eluded you because there was the condition of the heart that had never been dealt with, and the horrors of what you were a continual, torturous existence that left you unable to get even a few hours of natural rest. See, if you're broke tonight, and you thank God for everything, even the daily blessings of, in a sense, the tent that you live in, and the basic necessities, though your reality may be ours, which is rather chaotic, but yet it is the blessing of God's plan and purpose. No matter how unable to be understood by others it is the place of contentment. Because it's the place that God has us. So therefore, I thank God for the blessings, the daily blessings, the daily blessing of even sitting in the midst of the chaos in the morning at breakfast and realizing that there are 13 lives, that all God has a plan for every one of them. And though the chaos sometimes brings your mind to the place of utter despondency before breakfast is over at times, you realize, though, that this is peace, this is joy, this is hope, because this is God's plan right now. And there's a purpose, and being a part of that is a blessing. And I think about Paul and Silas in prison having been beaten, and they're singing hymns, and it's convicting because I go, wow, you want to trade places with them? Do I want to trade places with Pastor Syed when he was in Evin prison in Iran, right? Yeah, Lord. I'll tell you what, I'll take the solitude of Evin prison over this any day, right? Not. I'll take the cacophony of the little minds and voices, in a sense, praising God over being in the isolation of Evin prison any day of the week. See, what we have to do sometimes is step back and do checkups from the neck up, because the enemy helps us not see the things of our life for the blessing they are at times. What he does, he tries to get us to curse our blessings. And we find ourselves at that place where we would go, you know, a little time in Evin prison would be such a welcome relief. Oh, really? Ask Corrie Ten Boom and her sister when they were in Ravensbrück and in Auschwitz. Remember? Corrie Ten Boom was complaining about the fleas. She was, in essence, cursing God as her and her sister were under the clutches of the Germans in Nazi Germany. And it was amazing because Anne's sister, I can't remember her name right now, said to her one day, you know, Anne, you are complaining about the fleas, but what you have failed to see is since the fleas came, the guards have stopped checking on us and we've been able to have Bible study every single day. With which Corrie fell under immense conviction for her attitude. And y'all know that Corrie Ten Boom made it out and her sister was killed in the concentration camp. See, it's those kind of things right now. You know, it all boils down sometimes to perspective. Our perspective. And getting a biblical perspective versus the enemy's desire to bring everything right here and to get us going, wait a minute, I've got to step back. No, let God and his word and his plan bring it into focus and help us realize that godly contentment, even in the midst of misery, is true contentment. There is no place on the planet right now. There's a place I've always wanted to go to called Bamboo Island. It's off of Penpen down in Indonesia. It's kind of one of those hidden gems. And for about $5 a night, you can eat all your food. You have a servant that cleans the place. It's right on the water. And I find myself at times going, you know, a nice little trip to Bamboo Island for about 6 months would be so nice. And then I wake up to my reality and go, wait a minute, no. That would bring me great misery because that is not God's purpose and plan for me, right? It's not. So my godly contentment is to say, Lord, in all things give thanks, for this is your will in Christ Jesus concerning you, me. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, I believe. In all things give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus concerning you. The good, the bad, in all things. And see, that godly contentment is, as the first point again says, it's a treasure to seek. But it's an overt act of our will. It is us having to say, I don't like my circumstances right now, Lord, but I am going to, as an overt act of my will, I am going to seek contentment within the plan that you have placed me in right now, Lord, because I know that is obedience. Lord, I recognize that I am not going to leave this world with anything. God, I want to invest in the eternal. I'm going to stop seeking after my kingdom and what I believe my kingdom should be, Lord, and I want to focus on your kingdom, your will be done. And then, God, I'm going to do that in thanking you for everything, especially for those minute daily blessings that we so often take for granted. And I'll tell you this, you've heard me talk about this a lot. We had all that water trouble a number of years ago. I still wake up and, as y'all remember when I turned the water, I'm still thankful for it. The ice machine, just a couple months ago, it ran outside in the wintertime, it would freeze. And I have to go out there and it would flood the floor. A lot of things would happen. So you know what I did? After 7 years, I finally went and I ran it into our drain so that now I don't have to worry about it freezing. Now, y'all would go, that's just, I mean, come on. You know, that's, see, it makes me thankful for something small like that. I'm thankful for the water. I was telling somebody today or yesterday or whenever it was, I'm so thankful. My car, I've had the same car for 3.5 years or whatever it is. I am so thankful for my car. I really am. I am really thankful for it. You know how you tend to get, you tend to treat a car sometimes like a really bad girlfriend or boyfriend you had in high school, where after a couple of months, you're like, oh my goodness, what in the world am I thinking? Nobody else does that in your cars? Where you just, they get old and it's like, you know, I used to do that. Nobody else does it, but I'll just be honest with you guys. Everybody online, they're all lying in here tonight. They pretend like they love their cars, or I'm going to get a hold of all of them. But God's taught me a contentment. I'm thankful for my car. Why? Because the air works and the heat works. If it didn't, I'd fix it. I'd work on it and I'd fix it. But I'm just thankful for it. I'm thankful that I can get in and I really don't have to much worry about it breaking down. It may do that tomorrow. Tonight, might break down on the way home. I don't care, whatever. I'm just thankful, though. When I turn on the water, I'm thankful. When I get in the bed at night and I hear it raining, I'm thankful that the roof doesn't leak. You know why? Because there was a time when it did. If anybody knows what that's like, when we were staying in the campers and the pillows froze to the window, that's only 5 years ago. I remember what that's like, and it makes me super thankful for what God's given us. Might not have nice floors, might be on plywood in some of the house. That's okay. You know why? It is what it is. I wear flip-flops or I wear my slippers in the house. I'm okay. I'm just thankful because I know right now in Mumbai, India, middle class, they don't have floors. They have dirt. Middle class, upper middle class, only when you get into the elite do they have regular floors. I'm kind of thankful because we're really blessed. I know right now in Pakistan, and I know right now in Iraq, I know right now in Beirut, I know right now in places all over the world, what we consider lower middle class would be super wealthy in a lot of those countries. We're so blessed. And I think I referenced this the last Sunday I preached 2 weeks ago, that song that I really like, that I listen to a lot, I have been blessed. God's so good to me. It is such an amazing song because it just basically goes through how blessed we are. It talks about our parents, talks about water, food to eat. It goes through everything. And in all honesty, my question is to everybody as we get ready to close, if those things tonight that you had that you haven't been thankful for were gone tomorrow, how thankful would you be? Imagine if the only thing we had tomorrow was what we thank God for today. What would you have? In all honesty, what would you or I have tomorrow if we woke up tomorrow morning and the only things that God allowed us to have were the things that we had been thankful for today? Would you have any family members? Would you have a house? Would you have any water? Would you have any food? Would you be here at church? Would you have a Sunday school teacher? Would you have anything for that matter? See, what we don't realize is the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, from the Lord of love, that does not change like shifting shadows. Everything we have tonight is a blessing from God. No matter how minuscule, no matter how inconsequential we may think it is, everything is a gift from God. Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your word, God. And Lord, thank you for the challenge of the scripture tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.